The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Make these words more than words, and give us all the spirit of Jesus. Amen. So following on the heels of Liz's sermon from last week, the chaos in our world has not diminished. If anything, it seems to have picked up a little bit, moved closer to home for some of us. Tarishi Jane was an undergraduate student at UC Berkeley, just two blocks away. She died in the terrorist attacks in Bangladesh on Friday. A world away, and yet so close. And there are other kinds of life and death struggles. As we've heard just this morning, some right beneath the surface. We are stunned into silence, and we cannot even begin to grieve. I'm finding this week hard to stomach. I'm finding today hard. All week I've been struggling with these texts, trying to shoehorn them into our current events, as if that's all the Bible is good for. And it just wasn't working for me. Sure, you could take a geopolitical spin with this story about Naaman and the king and rending one's clothes. It's very appropriate for 4th of July weekend. And this gospel, we're sent out in an interesting way. Demons are cast out, and that's cool. There's a lot on hospitality we could learn. And Lord knows this nation needs to learn something about hospitality. Yet none of it sticks. And maybe that's not what preaching is about after all. Maybe, just maybe, the preacher is given a word that doesn't move them. As if preaching were only meant to make us feel something. The reality is that sometimes we're only left with hard truths. But I want to feel a certain way. I do want to stand before you every time I get the chance, and I want to proclaim good news. I want to say it's all going to be all right. And I want to stand here with confidence and tell you, Jesus is here, it's going to be fine, the world is going to be fine, and chin up, people. Smile. But that's not actually the gospel of Christ. As much as I try to make it so. You see, they've been burying the dead in Islam, in Istanbul, and in Bangladesh. And for those of you unfortunate enough to have AP updates appear in your pocket, like I am, in Baghdad. Just this morning. And in UC Berkeley, the community had lost a fine young scholar, all of 19 years of age. Lament seems to be the only right course of action in such moments. I'm with the Nobel laureate and Holocaust survivor, Elie Wiesel, on this one. God's face is haggard and tired. The lines along God's cheekbones are deep. Her cheeks are hollowed out. God is exhausted. God is so very vulnerable where human violence is concerned. Scripture shows us this in the life of Jesus himself. God is strangely vulnerable to our violence. There's just so much striving in the world. So much eye for an eye. So much end it all now. And I imagine God, who is always with the suffering and bereaved, is simply exhausted. She's done. His tears have dried up long ago. So where do we turn? What kind of Herculean task will we have to undertake to move things in a different direction? You see, this is the thing I realized after I've read these passages, after I was assigned these things. I'm looking for a prophet. I'm Naaman. And I'm looking for someone to tell me what to do, to come out of their house, call Lord down from God's own heavens, wave their hands over the part that hurts, and make everything better. Give me a quest. Tell me to move a mountain, and I will move a mountain. I know a guy. But instead, some anonymous girl, and we'll have another sermon about anonymous girls in the Old Testament, and why they're always anonymous. But some anonymous girl challenges the great general and says, it's simple. There is no great task. Wash and be healed. It's simple. So simple. Water, human need, healing, grace, a flood of grace. There's something blessedly simple about water. At our baptisms, we pour water. We call down the Spirit. And we make promises. Water and Spirit. That's all it is. The simplest of symbols. Standing courageously. I mean, this is the beautiful thing about the sacrament. We take something this simple and we put it right in the face of the chaos. You bring chaos and we bring this. Water. Healing. Spirit. And promises like this one, maybe some of you remember. Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? I renounce them. Say it. I renounce them. It's simple. Water. Healing. No Herculean task. No great quest. Every Sunday when I process in, I marvel at the simplicity, the hope, and the courage that the font represents. We walk by it every time, and I look at it. It's hope, and it's courage. I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget to notice it. Do you touch the font when you come in? I mean, there's a reason why we keep water in it, right? Do you take the time to remember your baptism when you walk in this space? If you haven't this morning, no judgment. No judgment. But spend some time. Splash around in it on your way out. Remember to whom you belong and that you're never, ever alone. Not in this. Never alone. Remember your baptism. This is what our anonymous heroine wants to tell us. Tells Naaman flat out that it's about water and the Spirit. It's so simple. It's so uncomplicated. Wash, be made clean. But as Christians, we know that our stories don't end there. They don't end at the font. We don't end at the water. We begin at the water. We begin in water, and then we leave it. We step out somehow. We leave the friendly confines of our communities with nothing, as the gospel says, but a fellow traveler's hand to hold. And our proclamation is simple. Peace. Peace be with you. We are called to offer peace. Nothing more, and certainly nothing less. It's incredibly challenging. impossible for some. But this is the thing about the peace we offer, this kingdom peace. It's vulnerable. Just like God is vulnerable in Christ Jesus. The peace will be embraced by some. It'll be denied and renounced by others. It'll be denied even by those who attempt to proclaim it. And many will offer terror instead of peace. They will bring pain and injury and death. They will proclaim a monstrous God turning pure love into a weapon. But peace is what we have. And it's our only offering. Peace. We stand between font and table and proclaim an end to death and suffering. We proclaim peace, and resurrection is our promise. You see, the readings this week aren't so much about current events, but they're about us. Perhaps. Perhaps they are about us who call ourselves Christian. They're about what it might mean to stand in the midst of chaos and meet it with water and peace, with healing of hearts and bodies, even whole communities. This kind of simplicity takes courage. And the water we use to recall our baptisms may very well be the water of tears. God's own tears, watering the earth, mingling with our tears, reconciling all things once again through tears.